Now the mob was pressed tight against the door so that those in front were being crushed by all the others who were pressing, and from the square a big drunkard in a black smock with a red and black handkerchief around his neck ran and threw himself against the press of the mob and fell forward onto the pressing men, and then stood up and backed away, and then ran forward again and threw himself against the backs of those men who were pushing, shouting, "Long live me, and long live anarchy!" As I watched, this man turned away from the crowd and went and sat down and drank from a bottle, and then while he was sitting down, he saw Don Anastasio, who was still lying face down on the stones, but much trampled now, and the drunkard got up and went over to Don Anastasio and leaned over and poured out the bottle onto the head of Don Anastasio and onto his clothes, and then he took a matchbox out of his pocket and lit several matches, trying to make a fire with Don Anastasio. But the wind was blowing hard now, and it blew the matches out, and after a little the big drunkard sat there by Don Anastasio shaking his head and drinking out of the bottle, and every once in a while leaning over and patting Don Anastasio on the shoulders of his dead body. All this time the mob was shouting to open up, and the man on the chair with me was holding tight to the bars of the window and shouting to open up until it deafened me with his voice roaring past my ear and his breath foul on me. And I looked away from watching the drunkard who had been trying to set fire to Don Anastasio and into the hall of the Ayuntamiento again. And it was just as it had been. They were still praying as they had been, the men all kneeling with their shirts open, some with their heads down, others with their heads up, looking toward the priest and toward the crucifix that he held, and the priest praying fast and hard and looking out over their heads, and in back of them Pablo, with his cigarette now lighted, was sitting there on the table swinging his legs, his shotgun slung over his back, and he was playing with the key. I saw Pablo speak to the priest again, leaning forward from the table, and I could not hear what he said for the shouting. But the priest did not answer him, but went on praying. Then a man stood up from among the half-circle of those who were praying, and I saw he wanted to go out. It was Don Jose Castro, whom everyone called Don Pepe, a confirmed fascist and a dealer in horses. And he stood up now, small, neat-looking, even unshaven, and wearing a pajama top tucked into a pair of gray-striped trousers. He kissed the crucifix, and the priest blessed him, and he stood up and looked at Pablo and jerked his head toward the door. Pablo shook his head and went on smoking. I could see Don Pepe say something to Pablo, but could not hear it. Pablo did not answer. He simply shook his head again and nodded toward the door. Then I saw Don Pepe look full at the door and realized that he had not known it was locked. Pablo showed him the key, and he stood looking at it an instant, and then he turned and went and knelt down again. I saw the priest look around at Pablo, and Pablo grinned at him and showed him the key, and the priest seemed to realize for the first time that the door was locked, and he seemed as though he started to shake his head, but he only inclined it and went back to praying. I do not know how they could not have understood the door was locked unless it was that they were so concentrated on their praying and their own thoughts. But now they certainly understood, and they understood the shouting, and they must have known now that all was changed. But they remained the same as before. By now the shouting was so that you could hear nothing, and the drunkard who stood on the chair with me shook with his hands at the bars and yelled, "Open up! Open up!" until he was hoarse. I watched Pablo speak to the priest again, and the priest did not answer. Then I saw Pablo unsling his shotgun, and he reached over and tapped the priest on the shoulder with it. The priest paid no attention to him, and I saw Pablo shake his head. Then he spoke over his shoulder to Cuatro Dedos, and Cuatro Dedos spoke to the other guards, and they all stood up and walked back to the far end of the room and stood there with their shotguns. I saw Pablo say something to Cuatro Dedos, and he moved over two tables and some benches, and the guards stood behind them with their shotguns. He'd made a barricade in that corner of the room. Pablo leaned over and tapped the priest on the shoulder again with the shotgun, and the priest did not pay attention to him, but I saw Don Pepe watching him while the others paid no attention, but went on praying. Pablo shook his head, and seeing Don Pepe looking at him, he shook his head at Don Pepe and showed him the key, holding it up in his hand. Don Pepe understood, and he dropped his head and commenced to pray very fast. Pablo swung his legs down from the table and walked around it to the big chair of the mayor on the raised platform behind the long council table. He sat down in it and rolled himself a cigarette, all the time watching the fascists who were praying with the priest. You could not see any expression on his face at all. The key was on the table in front of him. It was a big key of iron, over a foot long. Then Pablo called to the guard something I could not hear, and one guard went down to the door. I could see them all praying faster than ever, and I knew that they all knew now. Pablo said something to the priest, but the priest did not answer. Then Pablo leaned forward, picked up the key, and tossed it underhand to the guard at the door. The guard caught it, and Pablo smiled at him. Then the guard put the key in the door, turned it, and pulled the door toward him, ducking behind it as the mob rushed in. I saw them come in, and just then the drunkard on the chair with me commenced to shout, "Aye, aye, aye," and pushed his head forward so I could not see, and then he shouted, "Kill them! Kill them! Club them! Kill them!" And he pushed me aside with his two arms, and I could see nothing. I hit my elbow into his belly, and I said, "Drunkard, whose chair is this? Let me see." But he just kept shaking his hands and arms against the bars and shouting, "Kill them! Club them! Club them! That's it! Club them! Kill them! Cabrones! Cabrones! Cabrones!"